16, and I am going to read down through verse 25 and then pray and bring you the message on the old gospel ship. The Bible said in Acts chapter 27 and verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days did appear, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." I'm going to say something about hope in just a moment, but let me say something now. A man cannot live without hope. I'm telling you, a man can't live without hope. And when it's all taken away, you're in bad shape. Read on with me, please, as I read the scripture. Verse 21 said, "But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now look this way. Anytime, listen to me, anytime other than right now, they could have been in good cheer. But I mean, when you have no hope, how are you going to shout? And when you have no hope, how are you going to raise your hands and praise God? And when you have no hope, it's going to get better. My friend, it's a terrible condition. But notice what he said. He said, "And to have gained this heart," and he said, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Now notice what he said. "Wherefore," and this is my text for tonight, "wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Well, I like that. We need some people tonight to believe God. And he said, "Wherefore, sirs, I believe God." I don't care how dark it is, believe God. I don't care how bad the storm is, believe God. I don't care, my friend, how you feel physically, believe God, and it'll get better. He said, "Wherefore, sirs, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Look at this before you're seated. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. It's going to get better." He said, "I believe God." Would you be seated all over the house, beloved, for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for every blessing you bless us with already. Surely, Lord, we've been sitting together in heavenly places. We've been enjoying the great things of God. And as we come, I pray in Jesus' name that we may see the old ship of Zion. Thank God, I'm so glad tonight I'm taking a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm glad, Lord, when I think about it, it thrills me. And I pray as we come to preach now that everybody in this house will be thrilled by the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on the old gospel ship and why it's the greatest ship that's ever sailed. Somebody said that's a great statement, Brother Means. It's the greatest, my friend, anything that belongs to God, anything that's connected with the gospel, brother, it's the greatest. Hallelujah. When I think about the greatness of the things of God, it thrills me. And you say, what about the old gospel ship? In just a moment, by way of introduction, I want to give you two things you need to know about this ship. But first, let me go back and show you how old it is. Thank God it's not one of these modern, up-to-date streamlined. And did you know old-time salvation? It's not this much to do about a modern religion. I'm glad I've got the kind of salvation my old mother used to sing about, shout about. My old daddy used to tell me, son, it's got to be 6 inches down, a little over to the right. It's got to be a heartfelt salvation. And brother, in this world, when many people are substituting a modern religion, I'm glad that the old gospel ship was carved out of the rock of ages. Thank God it's hewed out of Calvary. And what a blessing to know it's old. But there are two things I want you to notice about it by introduction. Where it's loaded, where it gets its load. And then secondly, I want you to know this. It's landed many a million. Now you say, preacher, where does it load? It always loads up at Calvary. If you're going to get home board, praise God, you've got to go to Calvary. Because there it was paid for. The price was paid for your drift. I'm glad, hallelujah. I didn't earn it and I didn't buy it. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid for it in Calvary. And one night I went to Calvary. You say, preacher, how did it feel? I was burdened down with sin. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. I was struggling in the great sea of life. And I heard Him say, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. And thank God at Calvary, I got on board the old ship of Zion. My ticket was paid for by the blood. And what a blessing it is. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but His blood washed me white as snow. Not only is it loaded at Calvary, but the second thing, it's landed many a million. And I believe it's going to land many, many more. You say, preachers, that ever lost one? Nobody ever went down that sail with God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, mister. If you're on that ship, I want you to know that He'll land you safe on the other side. Somebody said, do you believe in eternal salvation? That's the only kind the Bible teaches. It's eternal salvation. I'm glad when I got on board, He said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say we wouldn't hit some storms. He didn't say it wouldn't be dark nights. But He said, when the battle or when the voyage is over, we'll land on the other side. And thank God we will. I've noticed two that sailed on the old ship of Zion. And then I'll get into the message. First of all, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when the greatest storm hit this world, the world has ever known, you know where Noah was? In the ark sailing. And praise God, he landed safely. I'm glad that any man that finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, it's going to land safely over on the other side. And then Paul, the Bible says, was sailing with these men, the mariners, out on that sea. And as he sailed, it looked like she was going down for sure. And mister, as you sail the great sea of life, many times it looks like you're going to sink. I want to tell you, you can stand up in the midst and say, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. But if you have your pencils in the margin of your Bible, I want you to write down seven great things about the old ship of Zion. The world's greatest things. You say about a ship, that's right. The first thing about it is that it's got the greatest cargo of any ship that's ever sailed the sea. Somebody said, who's on board? The precious blood-bought saints of the Lord. And I'm glad only God's children, the household of faith, the born-again crowd. That's all that's sailing on the old ship of Zion. It may not be precious to you, but every one of God's children are precious to Him. And if you're saved, you ought to be precious to your brother in the Lord. And you ought to be precious to your sister in the Lord. I'm glad I belong to the aristocrats. Now some of you look around and say, preacher Mays, you don't look aristocratic. Listen to what this book says. The Bible says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You may not realize it, but you're looking at one of God's youngers tonight, one of God's children tonight. And if you're saved, you're one of God's children. And that old ship's carrying the greatest cargo. If a ship would come up from Brazil, it would no doubt have rubber or coffee on it. If a ship would come from the Far East, my friend, it might have automobiles. But there's one that's coming up over the sea of life, and they don't have coffee, and they don't have automobiles. But if you look on it, it's a blood-bought band of God's aristocrats that have been saved, and thank God they're the household of faith. They're in the family of God. And what a blessing it is to be counted as one of God's children. And I made up my mind a long time ago. Praise God, I'm tired of looking down and saying, pity me. You don't have to pity me. God's my Father. Jesus is my elder brother. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. And brother, the devil's not my 42nd cousin anymore. Say amen. Brother, we're the children of God. That's the cargo, the greatest cargo that any ship has ever hauled. It's the cargo of the church, of the blood-bought number. And you say the church is going down. I got news for you. It's going up. Hallelujah. And Jesus said upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that blood-bought number. I was in a certain city. I told this on the radio. My wife said, when you're recording, don't tell it. I'm going to tell it anyway. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I don't try to be nothing because if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be nothing. But I get tired of somebody saying some big shots in the congregation. I don't care who's in the congregation. Boy, I want to serve God just whether you're little or big. It don't make any difference. I was at Lupton Drive Baptist Church in Chattanooga in a meeting. And we had 700 and something that Sunday. Had homecoming day there at Lupton Drive Baptist Church. And went out on the old tent to eat. I was standing there with my wife, and a lady came over, and she said, did you know the chief of police is in under this tent? And did you know that the mayor's here? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't know that. And she said, by the way, there's the chief of police. Would you like to meet him? I said, lady, you go over and ask him, would he like to meet me? Praise God. How you say, why, brother, me? I want to tell you, I'm in the family of God. I'm somebody by God's grace. I've been cleansed in the blood. And praise God, I'm part of the world's greatest cargo. Not only that, it's the greatest ship that ever sailed because of its great cargo. But number two, it's the world's greatest ship because of the world's greatest captain. I'm glad my captain knows the way. Thank God you don't have to worry as long as Jesus is piloting your ship. And you put her down, mister. He's been that way before. He knows every snare the devil will lay for you. He knows all the rough waters out yonder. I'm glad as Squire Parsons wrote when he wrote from Mark chapter 4, one night upon the sea, the mighty billows rolled. But thank God, the master of the sea stood up and held out his hand and said, peace be still. I want to tell you, you say, preacher, that thrills me to think about Beckham, a wild man up there in the hills as he saw the storm and Jesus stilled that storm. And then that's blessed. And when Jesus stilled the storm in that wild man's life, in the next part of that chapter, that's wonderful. I'll tell you something better than that. I'll tell you something better than still in the sea. I'll tell you something better than calming that wild man. I remember a few years ago, one night upon the sea, I was down here at Raleigh, North Carolina, room 813, sea dormitory, at 8:45, taking final exams. And you know what happened? I was in a storm, and the master, the captain, stepped up and held up his hand and said, peace be still. And the waves laid down. Oh, thank God. The wind ceased. And there was a great calm in my soul. I want to tell you, you'll never get over that night when Jesus says, peace be still. You say, preachers and grace, the greatest captain the world has ever known. Thank God his name is Jesus. And brother, he can take care and pilot you through all the temptations and the sorrows and the heartaches and the disappointments. There's some folks here tonight that have been through some real disappointments. And I know I've been through some too. I've been when the storm was beating on me and I couldn't see 6 inches out in front of my nose. I didn't know, Frank, where to take or what to do. About that time, the master stepped up and held up his hand and said, peace, but still. And thank God I slept good that night. For a few nights I didn't sleep, but that night I slept good. Thank God when the master, the captain on the old ship of Zion, thank God he can calm the sea. And what a blessing that is. God, is it great because of the captain? But it's great because of his anchor. There's never been a ship that's got an anchor like the old ship of Zion. It'll hold you in the midst of the storm. The Bible said in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Somebody says to me, preacher, what is your anchor hope? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now I want to tell you, it's a living hope. Oh, it's fresh and it's precious. Every morning I wake up and it's new. Hallelujah. Every night when I go to bed, thank God, that hope is a living, vital, something that I can say hallelujah to. You say, preacher, hope is a terrible thing when you don't have it. Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, having no hope, a man that doesn't have a hope doesn't have an anchor. A man that doesn't have any hope, mister, can't live. I was going down to the hospital hall in Atlanta a few years ago, and a little lady stopped me and said, Brother Mace, wait a minute. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, my husband in there has been cured of cancer. I said, wonderful, wonderful. I said, God must have touched him. She said, he did. But said, he's given up hope. And he thinks he's going to die. And said, the doctor told him to get up and go home. He's healed. And I said, she said, would you walk in and give him some hope? I said, lady, I'll walk in and read the Word of God. If he can't get it out of that, he'll never get it. I walked in that room and I read the Holy Book to him. I told him that Jesus was the anchor. I said, Jesus is the living hope. And Jesus is the one that touched you. He looked up with tears streaming down his cheeks. And he said, I've given up hope. I've given up hope. Listen, mother, if you've given up hope, you're in bad shape tonight. Daddy, if you've given up hope, are you listening? You're in bad shape tonight. Young person, if you've given up hope, you're in bad shape. I think of the worst thing that I ever have to face. Now, I hate it. I despise it. That's to preach a funeral of a lost man. Are you listening? And a little family sitting out there and saying, give me some hope. Oh, give me some hope when I can't give them any hope. Brother, I'd rather not be in that funeral. I don't want to take part in that funeral. But I don't mind going to a funeral and taking part. When I can look down at the little widow, or look down at the husband that's remaining, and say, praise God, there's a meeting in the air that's going to take place. Our hope is that blessed hope when Jesus, the Son of God's coming back again. I want to tell you, it's not bad when you walk by the casket. Look down and say, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. Oh, thank God for that. I never will forget that my mother died and I went down. I told the undertaker, I said over to Hendersonville, I said to Mr. Thompson, I said, listen, I said, I want you to do something. I said, when everybody gets out, I said, before you close the room up here and we finish receiving our friends, I said, I want to have prayer and read some scripture and preach a little. And he said, all right, Mr. Jackson. And so they're just packed out in the halls, out in the yards, and it's packed there in the room in the funeral home, and I preached a little. And I said, folks, don't worry about my mother. Glory to God, I wouldn't have her back for anything in this world. And I was touching the coffin. I was standing by the casket. I said, after you all leave, I said, I'm going to get Morticia there to close the door. And I said, I can't sing, but I'm going to sing my mother a song. And did you know, after they all got out, he closed that door. He looked at me and he said, all right, Mr. Jackson, you go right ahead. But he said, let me ask you something. Can I watch you? He said, I lost my daddy. And he said, I'd like to watch you. I said, all right, stand there. It's all right. I went over to the casket, and I looked in at my mother. And I said, Mother, I want to sing you a little song. And I reared back with tears dripping down my face. And I sang, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. And we'll sit down by the river. Thank God we'll renew old acquaintances. I said, we'll have a stroll right down Heaven's Avenue. Brother, listen, I'm glad the greatest ship in all the world has the greatest anchor. It'll hold you, mister, in a world of turmoil, in a world of confusion, in a world of sin. Thank God for the anchor. But number four, this great ship has the greatest wireless telegraph system of any ship that's ever sailed the seas. You say, what do you mean? Well, a wireless telegraph system, you know what they use it for? Get ahead hold of headquarters. And there'll be a lot of times out here on the sea of life, and you'll need to get a hold of headquarters. And praise God, I'm glad on the old gospel ship, you can just pick up heaven's telephone and ring that number up yonder, and it'll never be busy, and he'll always answer. When you call him in Jesus' name, thank God you can use the world's greatest wireless telemessage. I'm glad I've used it a lot of times. Boy, when I'd get to the place, Kenneth, and I didn't know what to do, I'd get a hold of that wireless telephone. I'd call up heaven and say, headquarters, I don't know what to do. And he'd say, just hold on. I'll give you instructions, and you'll know where and what and when. There's a lot of things, bless God, we don't know. But if you'll use your wireless telegraph system, it's called prayer. And Jesus said that men ought to always pray. You're in trouble if you don't pray. A church is in trouble if don't pray. A preacher's in trouble if don't pray. Mister, a Christian's in trouble when he doesn't pray. What a blessing it is to pray. You say, Preacher Mace, did anybody ever use that wireless telephone system on that old gospel ship? Well, I believe a few did. I believe Jonah did in the belly of that whale. I believe he got tired of the gassy juices and the seaweeds, and he called up and said, I'd like to get out of here. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord heard his prayer, and that fish got sick. You say, sick of what? That Baptist preacher, that's what he got sick of. And he spewed him out. You say he did. He hit the ground running. Oh, I've been driving the van this week, and if I'd pulled up beside Jonah, making 65, and said, Jonah, would you like to ride? He'd say, no, thank you. I'm in a hurry. Praise God. I want to tell you something. He's headed out. You say, how did he get out? He used the wireless telephone. Here's not only Jonah, but Daniel was in the midst of a roaring lion's den. Den of lions. I mean, there's real. There's real, and there's hungry. But the Bible said God sent an angel down there and locked their jaw. Did you know all they could do was smell? Amen. Isn't that good? You say, but preacher, the devil's like a roaring lion. He can take a bite out of me. Not if you're saved. He gets spiritual indigestion. Say amen. You don't have to worry about that. Praise the Lord. He knows who to devour. If the Bible said he seeketh whom he can devour. Now, won't you know if you pray, you stay in this book. And if you resist the devil. I was a preacher up on the devil, and I told him what color the devil was. You say he's red. No, when I was a little boy, my mother used to get this red devil eye, and the devil's red, and had big pitchforks. That ain't the color of the devil. I'm going to show you with the Bible what color the devil is. You say, what color is he? He's yellow. You say, how do you know? The book said resist him, and he'll run. He's coward. Thank God, he's yellow. All you've got to do is pour the word of God to his hide, mister, and he'll run. He's scared to death of the word of God. Hallelujah. You say, Preacher Mays, in that night when old Daniel was in the den of the lions, I'm glad he called up heaven, and heaven answered. He used the wireless telegraph system. Not only that, but Paul and Silas used it in the Philippian jail. Years ago, I went down to Philippi, and they said, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go to jail. They said, are you crazy? I said, no, but I want to go down there where Paul and Silas reached up that wireless telegraph and got a hold of headquarters. And God said, don't worry, I'll send one angel down there, and he'll shake that jailhouse. And did you know that's the first jailhouse that ever rocked? Amen. You talk about jailhouse rock. Now, it rocked. It rocked a long time before Elvis came along. Say amen right there. Brother, it rocked. The Bible said, and it shook that jailhouse with an earthquake. And the stocks fell off. You say, preacher, I'm glad he used his wireless telegraph system. Isn't it blessed to know that we can use it? I imagine that five people this week, maybe more, but at least five people have come up to me, Sister Grace and others, and said, Brother Mace, I told you about somebody I want you to pray for. I said, yeah. Well, said God's answered prayer. Boy, you know, that blesses me when I go to a place and somebody says, he's answered. Here's some folks right back yonder. Brother, they got a hold of that wireless telegraph, and they called up, and God sent a Georgie fella to answer it. Say amen right there. Oh, you say, Preacher Mace, I'm glad. It's the greatest ship that's ever sailed. Because it's got the greatest wireless telegraph system. Now, here's the next thing, number five. It's got the greatest whistle, our frog horn. You ever been out on the edge of North Carolina and Wilmington and watched a big ship come in and you hear that old fog horn? I mean, that old foghorn, boy, it sounded weird. But you know what that was? It was to let the other ships know which way he was coming in. Now, I'm glad that every Christian's got one of those. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want you to know which way I'm coming in. Hallelujah. Some of you want to come in quiet and easy with the easy crowd. I told them, I said, I want to shout so loud. A rabbit won't run through this country for safety. Got a little tug that meets them, and that little tug tugs them in. And you say, well, the old gospel ship don't have that. Who said it doesn't? My Bible said that Lazarus died, and the angels tugged him into heaven, over to God. I'm glad, mister, when you come down, and you breathed your last breath, and you prayed your last prayer. Thank God there'll be a tug that'll tug you into the city of God. Now, I know you'll have a lot of evangelists here, and you'll have a lot of preachers here. And all of them are different. They ought to be different, because there's no two preachers alike, but I want to give you something. You never heard me come up here and pull them out there. I appreciate everything anybody does. And I appreciate your prayers and your gifts, and I know some of you give sacrificially. But I believe in that verse that said, God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My daddy used to say, where God guides, he provides. Let me tell you something. God will provide. You hear me? And God's been good to me better than he has to Kenneth and better than he has to any of these preachers here tonight. God's been good to me. And I went to the doctor here a while back, and he took my record out. He opened it up there at Emory University in Atlanta. He said, Mr. Jackson, you died twice. I said, did I? He said, you did? I said, I'm scriptural, twice dead and plucked up of the roots. Say amen right there. You know what he said to me? He said, Mr. Jackson, did you know technically you died twice? I said, nah, I'm not sure about that. He said, I got it here on record. Don't argue with our records. We got the best here at Emory University. And don't argue. I said, okay, Mr. Bloomberg. I got home. I said to my wife, I said, you know what? That's funny. She said, what's funny? She said, I knew he told me that you died twice. I said, but that one was funny. I said, when I got down to the river, I didn't see no angels waiting to carry me across. And when I got down to the river, I didn't hear nobody shouting or singing. Why, Doc said, I could have told you that all the time. Said, you have so much good stuff in this life, they won't even send a committee after you when you die. Oh, but praise God, there's a tug that's going to tug God's children in. I've seen the saints of God as they left this world, and the tug of angels would carry them in to the great port of heaven. Thank God the angels bore them away on snowy white wings to his eternal home. My old granddaddy was dying. I stood by his bed. Boy, I like my granddaddy. He'd come to my meetings, he'd holler, amen. And he wasn't always scriptural. He'd pray this prayer, and it bothers me. If you pray it, it's wrong. You know what he'd say? You know what he'd say? He'd say, life save us in heaven for Jesus' sake. That ain't right. You're saved now. You won't get saved at last. Bless God, I'm just as much saved in the mind of God as I'll be when I've been in heaven 10 million years. Thank God I'm one of his children. But my granddaddy was an old mountain man over here in the mountains, and he'd pray, God, save us at last for Jesus' sake. Well, brother, I haven't waited till last. When you hear of old Mace dying, you say he got saved a long time before. Oh, what a blessing. But when he's dying over here at Hendersonville in that hospital, the nurse told me, she said, Mr. Jackson, I want you to know when your granddaddy was dying, he said two things. I said, what did he say? Said, first of all, he looked over at the wall and said, Jesus, turn your sweet face this way. She said, do you believe that? I said, I know Jesus was looking at him. You say, I don't believe that. I believe that. The second thing he said, oh, the precious blood of Jesus. Down there in the valley of the shadow of death, the precious blood of Jesus was precious to him. I'm glad, praise God, it's precious to me tonight. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to the believer. If you want something to bless you, and I hadn't even thought about this, turn to 1 Peter when you get home, and you'll find five precious things. Jesus is precious to those that love him and believe on him. The blood is precious, Simon Peter said. And it's wonderful to know the precious blood of Jesus. You know what I did? I went down in that hospital room after my granddaddy had been removed. I went in and closed that door. I heard a knock at the door, and the nurse said, "Could I come in, Mr. Jackson?" I said, "Yes." I said, "He died at 7:20 yesterday tonight. I was getting ready to preach down in South Carolina." She said, "Let me tell you something. You ought to have been here." And I was standing there, and the tears streamed down my cheeks. And she said, "What are you looking over on the wall for?" I said, "I don't see Jesus standing there, but I believe that Jesus stood there before my granddaddy died. I believe that there was a heavenly covey of angels that came and bore him away on snowy white wings to his eternal home." You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, don't bother me. I believe it. Praise God. I'm so glad. Oh, there's a tug that'll tug us in. Then here's the best thing about the old gospel ship, the old ship of Zion. You say, "What? It's got a gangplank that's wide enough for the whole world to get on board." Woo! Somebody said, "But don't you believe in election?" It's already passed. I thought the election was over. Didn't you say amen? I'm glad it is over. Amen? I got so tired of that thing. But somebody said, "Don't you believe that only a few will be saved?" I believe that only a few probably will believe. But I believe Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And there's nobody without excuse, mister, if you die and go to hell. Listen, you can't blame God. You can't blame Jesus. You can't blame the Holy Ghost if you die without God and go to hell. Oh, you say, "Preacher Mays, listen what the book says. That gangplank is wide." Isaiah 45 and verse 22 said, "Look ye, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved." What did it say? Look. It didn't say bye. It didn't say come and work 1,000 years for your salvation. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever would believe upon him should be saved. Sir. What a blessing it is to see that if a man will come, he can be saved. If a woman will come to Jesus, though millions have come, there's still for one. I want to tell you how that was written. I want to tell you how it was written. And this man that got this song's got his name on it, but he said, "Mays, I wouldn't have put it on it if I had known what I know now." He was a preacher. And his wife ran off and left him. What a sad thing it was. And she went to the dogs. And every once in a while, she'd call him and say, "Honey, if you'll send me money, I'll come home." And he's kind, and he'd send her money, and she'd take it and go to the booze house and buy booze with it. And then one night, he got a call. He thought he felt a note of sincerity in her voice. She said, "I'm tired of singing. I'm coming back home. I'm tired. I want to come home." He sent her money to come. She got on a Greyhound bus, and it got within 28 miles of that town where she was to get off with her husband waiting on her. And the bus turned over. On the icy highway, she is killed. 14 others were killed. And when they brought him to see her body and pick up her pocketbook and a few things she had, he opened her pocketbook, and here was a song. "There's room at the cross for me. Though millions have come, still there's room for one. There's room at the cross for me." He said, "I put my name on it," of course he's dead. But he said, "Thank God, I'm so glad. You can come if you're thirsty. You can come if you're hungry. Thank God for the gangplank. That's wide enough to receive the worst of sinners." I've never had to go back in one of my meetings and tell a man that to say, "Hey, you're too mean. God won't have you. You're too wicked. God won't have you." I've always been able to go back and say, "Mister, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And thank God the gangplank is wide enough for you to come." I have in my Bible, and I'm going to get Brother, I'm going to do it myself. I got it here. I got it in my room. I was preaching in Eton Baptist Church the other night. First Baptist Church in a little place called Eton. And when I got through preaching the first night, a man came running down. He's a doper. He's wicked. He beat his kids. He beat his wife. He's mean as a devil. Boy, he got saved. And I like what that preacher did after he got saved. He assigned a man to go to that man's house every day, a different man, to encourage him since he was saved. And boy, that old fellow, he said, I want to tell you, Mr. Jackson, I've heard you on the radio up here in North Georgia. I've been wicked. I've been in rodeo business. I want to tell you, I've been racing business and drinking business and gambling business and dope business. And he said, if that had caught me, I'd have been in jail forever. But he said, the Lord sent me here to church and I got saved. And before the week was over, he had some old drunks coming with him. His wife got saved. His little kids got saved. He came back and he said, Brother Mays, I want to give you my address and some money. I want you to send me some tapes. I'm going to need them now. Oh, he said, I didn't know God would save me. Now, I'm going to need all the encouragement I can get. I'm going to send him the tapes of this week. He offered me money. I said, keep that money. I don't want it. I said, I want you to have some good tapes. I want you to just praise God that the blood covered every sin. Thank God in that gangplank is wide enough. You don't have to worry. That gangplank is wide enough to save the whole world. Now, let me give you a verse of Scripture, and I'm going to close in a moment. 1 Timothy 1:19 said, they that have turned from faith are shipwrecked. A man that refuses the grace of God and the salvation of the Lord. And a man that says, I will not go to Calvary, and he refuses God's way. The Bible said he'll be shipwrecked out yonder. Many have been shipwrecked. My daddy gave me this before he died. He said, son, it happened in 1914. The biggest ship that ever sailed, the safest ship that ever sailed. They built a ship that would never go down called the Titanic. He said that would not be destroyed. 1,500 and something people drowned. But he said they took champagne and christened that thing and said she'll never go down. And that night out there in the northern seas as the icebergs were leaping and jumping, there's nobody believing God. They were dancing and carrying on and drinking and swearing. And in that great night of debauchery, that big iceberg reached up and took part of that ship apart that they said could not be destroyed. And as that ship was going down, there was a boy on there that used to play for street meetings with his daddy. And he was a trumpeter in the band. And he wet his lips, and he knew that they're all going to drown. And you know what he played while the ship was going down? Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. And they said, a woman ran up and said, what in the world are you doing? He said, listen, nobody here believes God. Nobody here. We're going to die. We're going to die. We'd better get close to God. And they said, as that old Titanic went down, oh, said the people screamed, but the last thing they heard was the sound of that trumpet. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. Paul said, they that have turned from faith are shipwrecked. You'll go down in the sinking waters of sin, and there you'll be condemned forever and forever, abandoned of God. Mister, I'm glad you can go to Calvary. Lady, I'm glad you can go to Calvary. And the gangplank's wide enough to save the whole world. Thank God you can get on board. Every head bowed, every eye closed, oh, my son.